Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You know, I like old t-shirts. I keep most of mine under a tire iron in the trunk of my car. But now there's a better way. T-Fury, it's the original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. Are you missing a shirt from the past and want to get it again? Head to the T-Fury Gallery. Who knows what you might find there? Maybe that John Rambo shirt you've been missing. Maybe that Michael McDonald shirt. Who knows? T-Fury covers all your favorite topics. They get everything from sci-fi, TV, movies. All the shirts are a perfect complement to the long or short Jonathans you might be wearing. So check it out. Also, don't forget about T-Fury After Hours sale. If you missed the day's shirt by only a little, they keep the sale going into the wee hours of the morning just for you. So check out tfury.com/nerdist and see what today's shirt is all about.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Welcome to Cashing In. I'm Cash Levy, part two of our Abercrombie and Fitch episode. In fact, I'm still at Abercrombie and Fitch, hanging out with TJ Miller. Apparently, he was Employee of the Month here back in 1983. And also again in 1994. Now, he's being chewed out by the boss in one of the back rooms because we did the first part of the of this episode last week. In fact, stop right now if you haven't heard the first part. It's essential that you listen to the first section of this episode to understand the second part. None of this will make any sense, and all of it will make complete sense if you go back and listen to the first one, the first Abercrombie and Fitch episode. But TJ's just coming out right now, and apparently he was being chewed out by the boss. Boss didn't appreciate us doing a podcast on the floor where people were trying to return items from the holiday season, even as late as February. And TJ, are you all right? Did you get fired?
Well, I just got my ass handed to me.
Oof.
I don't know what happened. I laughed my ass off at that Midwestern precious thing that you said, life being not as precious there. I laughed my ass off. I guess it was over in the sweater section.
Yeah.
So I had to go back in there, and he handed it right to me.
Your ass?
Yes.
Oof, wow.
I asked him to tear me a second asshole. Said he just handed my ass to me.
Well, while you were over
there. Said this one's already got an asshole on it.
While you were over there, I looked it up, and centipedes have anywhere from 20 legs to 300 legs. There's 8,000 species of centipedes.
Some of them just 300 have
300 legs. That's a lot of legs.
Do you think the ones with the 20s get leg envy?
They do. I'm sure they get leg envy.
Well, just my luck.
But if you're going to buy
20 legs and then this girl's got 300,
it's
how can I compare with that? If she runs away when I try and kiss her, I'll never catch up. Boom. I'm the centipede that sounds like Broopy the dog.
You know, it's the Olympics coming up, and you know, reminds one of
best transition I've ever heard in the history of podcasts.
Reminds one of
I'm the centipede that sounds like Groupie the dog. Well, the Olympics are coming up, and what
I was just saying, if Tonya Harding had gone after, if centipede skated, mm-hmm. that would have been a much tougher road to hoe if you're trying to Nancy
so
Kerrigan.
Expensive, yeah.
I mean, like, it's not just one leg you'd want to take out. You'd have to take out 300 legs.
Isn't that crazy? Did she pay someone?
The fact that happened still seems crazy to me. Did that really happen?
Did she pay someone to hit Nancy Kerrigan in the leg?
Yes, with a crowbar. Knee? Or she didn't quite know about the scheme, I guess, right?
Yeah, right.
It was her, like, husband or...
That Joey Buttafuoco
guy. Phil Lulley.
Was it Joey Buttafuoco?
Jeff Kalulli.
No.
I think
it was Joey Buttafuoco.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
All I'm saying is, I can't believe that even happened. But look, let's get back to the point here. I'm trying to return a gift, and that's really why I'm here. Can you just take it back?
Sure. Let's just open it.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Definitely.
It was Joey Buttafuoco. I knew it from the start. Wait. This is an Abercrombie and Fitch knitted cotton jeans.
Okay, yeah.
That I gave to you.
What?
This holiday season.
That was your gift to me?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I feel so embarrassed.
I got you a knitted cardigan jeans.
I feel so embarrassed.
So they button all the way up to right where your penis is just barely covered. You can just see a little neck.
Oh my gosh. Well, I like the sweater vest.
Yeah, I know that
pants.
You like that.
I like the sweater vest pants.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you would. Why don't you just tell me?
I don't like a collar on my pants.
You didn't like them, and I could have.
I don't really like
else.
A collar on
okay,
my pants.
Fine.
But I don't want to be mean about it. I feel bad now. I didn't know you gave me that gift.
Well, I did.
Oh boy.
So I guess that's what the entire 12 and a half have been waiting for, to hear me feel pretty ashamed that I gave you a gift, and now you're not even re-gifting it. At least I re-gifted them.
Wait a second. What? You re-gifted this to me? Someone gave that to you?
Oh, no. I spoke too soon. I shouldn't have spoken.
You spoke
at all.
Out of turn. That's what you did.
I did.
You know what I have to say to you? Your kind ain't welcome in these parts.
Oh, no. Let me just get the crispy beans to go.
All I'm saying is you can't. You're allowed to drive in the snow, right? At speeds of 60 to 70 to 80 miles an hour, and it's perfectly legal in the snow, mm-hmm. sliding all over in 4,000-pound vehicles. But you're not allowed to have two drinks the same time in Utah. Now, is there something strange going on?
That's what I'm saying. Nietzsche says we need to reevaluate all of our values. Is it better to have two?
Yeah.
Is it better to never say the N-word out loud and to admonish people from saying the N-word? But then to walk past an African-American homeless man and not even make eye contact with him or give him a dollar. Which do you think he would appreciate more?
I'll bet
which,
he would.
Which value is more important?
Yeah.
Helping out another human being or not saying a negative slur about them? And lots of people would say, well, why not do both? And my question is, why not? Now what, America? Now what?
Checkmate.
Checkmate, America. Checkmate.
You're not using that enough. I love that. I think it's the funniest
we've
thing.
We've got to start
you
doing
need
it all
to,
the time.
You need to do it. There was one episode where you said you were going to say checkmate all the time, and you haven't done it since.
Well,
I'm trying to keep the dream alive by saying it.
I'm trying to
remind you to do it. Because I did enjoy that. I thought
I'm
that was
telling you too.
You probably could have got out of that argument with your boss a few seconds ago if you had just said checkmate.
Well, we also decided that you have to say something. I don't know. When my buddy Nick Vatterott, he was talking about, he goes, because we were talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman's death, which is really, it's a tragedy. It's untimely. And they think it was from heroin. And I said, well, do you think he was shooting heroin? I have friends who've smoked it, you know, and can you overdose from heroin from smoking it? And Nick goes, I'd go on the side of it's heroin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a real checkmate moment. It's like,
I've said it before.
Can you snort heroin until you have an overdose? Yes. And I'd say the reason I know is because it's heroin.
I know.
Checkmate.
I've said it before, but there's really no heroin success stories, you know?
Yeah. It's true. No one goes, you know, I was really losing
Bob
it.
Really turned his life around.
What was it, you know? I heard it was heroin. Yeah, I was having a tough time. I was really unhappy. I was depressed. Then I started doing heroin. I felt better. I had more energy. So I started going out and really accomplishing my goals. Yeah, exactly.
Are there timely deaths? Is that like if someone, are there timely deaths? Because you said it was an untimely death.
Nobody ever says that, right? No one ever
goes.
She was 95. It was really a
timely
death.
Pretty timely. I think it was.
It came, or it was past its time.
It was perfect timing for our party. Like, you know, we were able to work around it with our party. It was a golf outing, and we
it was a
perfect
timely,
timing. We were actually in the clubhouse
death.
Between the nine holes.
It was just a timely death.
Yeah, it was timely. Look, I wanted to finish up with a where were you? Just tell you, I took my son fishing out on the pier. We hung it and dangled
what,
it.
What is
and
that
I was
about?
Noticing.
And you went, so you went dick fishing?
No, we were fishing off the pier, me and my son, and we kind of were trying to learn from the other fishermen out there. And the bait now, I mean, people were using squid and shrimp
really?
And this kind of thing. And I think at a certain point. Dude, maybe you should just eat the bait and not bother with the fish.
Right, you've got so much shrimp.
You've got some
just
pretty
have some shrimp.
When you're throwing out, you know, when you're throwing out there like a lobster claw, mm-hmm. or you're dropping down a paella on a hook.
That's a tough one.
It's a paella
it's mixed.
That's what I think. That's what makes
it
funny.
Seafood and rice. Yeah, it's gonna be. You'd have to have instead of a hook, you need a ladle.
I think that's why it's
you're
funny.
Just fishing with a ladle.
Ladle fishing.
Ladle fishing.
Yeah. Is a net sort of a ladle with holes?
A net is the worst ladle that there can be. I mean, I'd be interested if the 12 and a half have ideas as to what would be worse than a net as far as...
It's a like bad a ladle. It's a bad ladle.
A butterfly catching net is the worst ladle.
A stick with a net attached to it is just a really bad ladle.
The worst ladle you can have is a concave...
Or maybe...
A concave bowl where you put the handle on the wrong end.
Yeah.
So you're trying to ladle, but it's just running off the bottom of the bowl. You have to sort of ladle upwards. And I guess that would only be if there's a way to have a pot of soup on the ceiling where it wouldn't come crashing down.
I think
down.
The worst ladle is a nine iron.
You still think,
yeah,
you think a golf club is the worst
ladle. A golf club is
ladle.
A bad ladle. That's all it is. It's hard to eat off a golf club. It's hard to eat off a golf club.
Next time you go golfing, turn to your friend and say, hey, that's a hell of a club, but one fuck of a terrible ladle.
Time now for a section we like to call Essential Questions of Human Nature.
Essentially, this is Essential Questions of Human Nature.
How many fishing poles is too many, you know, where it's just not even fair? I mean, these guys had like six poles each. Where really you are basically throwing, where it is almost a net at that point.
And so they're just putting all six of them or sort of have hooks in the
water.
Yeah,
I'm more of a one. I think you should only have one fishing pole per person.
Yeah, fishing shouldn't be about volume.
Yeah,
it
shouldn't be like
that up to the fisherman.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, and then that what's the fun of having six going and you're like, yeah, I caught two fish today. Obviously, I tried with about 48 different baits and I had six poles going at any one time. That's not that impressive. Where's the sense of accomplishment?
Yeah, I don't think it's...
It's like, let me put it this way. If you're a centipede and you have 300 legs and you can do a little dance with three or four of them, you can really do the shuffle step or the foxtrot, is it that impressive? You've got so many mm-hmm. other legs.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have 300
legs. That might
be
the worst insect analogy when it comes to fishing poles I've done, but I don't have a lot of practice in it. Let me put it that way.
Essential Questions of Human Nature. We're going to do another one. The Oscars is coming up, and when I looked at the nominations, is it getting to the point where all of the decisions are made based on how much weight someone... Basically, we're voting... The Oscars is all about diet now. It's all about... Really, it's a dieting show. It's like the people that win lost or gain the most weight. You know? It's because everyone keeps saying, he lost 35 pounds for that. He lost 45 pounds for that role or whatever.
Okay, see, that was an essential... Speaking of essential questions, you left out a pretty essential part of that question.
The question
which
mark?
Which is... Because how it sounded was
might have been a tiny.
It's
opinion.
All about no, but it's all about how much weight you lost or gained, but you didn't say for a role.
Yeah, for
so
a role.
I thought you were just saying like
Yeah, they gave it to her because she lost about 10 pounds after she had the baby. Just like in general, how much people weigh. Nothing to do with the acting.
Yeah, for the role. Don't you think it becomes too big of a factor? Well, it gained 40 pounds for that role. It took a lot of courage. No, it took a lot of
pizza.
Of beef.
Yeah, it took a lot of beef and pizza.
Lots of beef in his face. A lot of paella.
Sweet, beefy.
On a hook.
Yeah, a lot of nugget in a bucket with
buckets
a straw.
Buckets of nugget. That's what it took. A lot of courage took. He really had to commit to the role. He starved himself. Yeah, no, he. You know, the role was supposed to be at that level, and he wanted to lose a little weight anyway, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm cutting weight, and it is the least fun thing ever, but I don't think it's any... People aren't like, that's incredible, man. I'm so proud of you. You deserve an Oscar. It's like, no, I'm just kind of trying to look like a scrawny stoner drug dealer.
Yeah.
In this next role.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you lost weight?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Are you...
That's not the best question. If someone looks at you,
no,
you
know,
I've been cutting weight. Yeah, but it came across exactly that way. I just like...
No, it really
it doesn't bother me, but it is funny to go.
No, no.
Are you losing weight? Yeah. Really?
No.
Because you...
I know it sounded that
you
way.
You couldn't look more bloated.
I didn't...
You look like you ate another smaller man.
Yeah. I know it sounded that way. I want to clarify publicly and just say that the reason I said it that way is because you just did that... Pretty recently, so I was surprised you had to do it again.
No, I had to gain a bunch of weight for this HBO show.
Okay,
and then
so you're going
I
back and
lose
forth.
It all again, and it's very hard when you're having fun on the road or with a woman. It's just a tough one to say no to late night Cobb salads, especially if there's two full loaves of bread in the salad, cut in half,
or giant croutons,
and it's mostly chicken. Yeah, it's mostly chicken. If you're a crouton. Yes. Larger than the bowl of salad you're eating, you may be eating a sandwich.
You might be eating some bread. If your crouton is not dry,
you may have a messy sandwich. If it is moist bread that you purchased from Jimmy John's.
All I'm saying is I think Jenny Craig probably should have won the first Oscar.
Yeah, because she lost a lot of weight
for
that role in the commercial.
You're right. You know? And
I got an essential question.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm wondering, why don't more people leave a little extra money in the meter? Everybody's trying to spend the least amount of money, save that quarter, and then maybe they get a ticket. Why not max out your meter, and if you don't use the whole thing, you immediately make somebody's day. Just a very small part of their day. But how excited do we get when we get to one of the meters with the green light?
That, my friends, is a practical living in the modern age.
Is that?
In an inefficient and out-of-date way, we bring you Practical Living in the Modern Age.
How dare you bring this shit into that section? That was an essential question.
No, you're right, though.
You are speaking much yang right now.
This is too much yang. I won't have any more of this yang talking.
Go on, though. I like this. I like where you're going with this.
No, I think if you're going to spend, what does it cost? Another 75 cents or a dollar. And you know that if you leave early and there's still 40 minutes in the meter, what a great feeling to pull up to a meter and it already has the amount of time that you need. You don't have to put any money into it. It's much better than leaving an umbrella somewhere or, you know, there's so many other things you can do. So that's my one practical living in the modern age. It's just give somebody a smile or lift up their day by putting a little too much money in the meter. Second practical living in the modern age is, leave – if there's a take a penny, leave a penny. Leave a couple dimes. And a nickel. Don't leave quarters or dollars because I think the people of the establishment might take them. Leave a little more money than you really. You got a couple dimes. What are you going to do with them? You know, nothing much. So just put them in there because there's always got to be somebody who goes, I don't have 10 cents. Well, there it is right there in the ticket.
But this is coming from somebody that very easily makes a lot of money winning carnival games.
Yeah, well, I lose.
I mean,
a lot
so
of
you're
too.
It's a little bit hypocritical for you
well,
to say
I do
for people.
Sometimes
to...
is I put about two or three nickels in there, and I take all the pennies, use them on the penny plate.
I'm going to do a practical living in the modern age, and I think this is sort of an interesting thing. I've been doing some soul searching the last 3 or 4 months, and I've come to the conclusion that most people, part of the problem in terms of people's unhappiness is the assumption that everyone else is happy. I think most people, there's a lot of people that aren't super happy. You look at the self-help section at the bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
You look at, you know, the amount of people trying to get involved with self-improvement on one level or another. And people aren't, everyone's got problems. And I think part of what makes people depressed is the assumption that everyone else out there is happy.
Well, the biggest one is.
And that's sort of an advertising thing almost.
It's an advertising thing in part. I mean, I've got a lot to say about this because in part it's an advertising situation where the, how do I put this? It's everybody is telling you if you just had this, you'd be as happy as these people that you're seeing really happy on the television. Also, I think the celebrity worship thing involves this strange idea that if you're rich and you're famous in America, you're happy. When in reality, you're usually less happy, and we've talked about this, than somebody who's living middle class, kind of hand to foot, is just trying to survive, but isn't always in need or want. And that really is true. Most of the very wealthy people that I know are pretty unhappy and empty. And the reason they're unhappy is because they have all these things that other people expect would make them happy and right. themselves happy.
Right.
And they don't have it and they can't complain about it because people are like, oh, boo-hoo, you have so much money. But I recently have just been in circles with billionaires and 100 millionaires and people that have quite a bit of money.
People that have enough to leave a quarter even.
They could leave a quarter.
Yeah. In the penny jar.
And they, they just aren't any happier. For the most part, they're less happy.
Well, and
lately, my thing that I've been talking about is how the only thing that people of great wealth inherit is a poor work ethic. And if you don't have a great work ethic, you're never going to have any self of efficacy or accomplishment. Because if you're not working for the money that you make, it doesn't matter. It might as well. You'll take it for granted just like we all take air for granted or water for granted. Mm-hmm. We don't take water for granted as much anymore, but we definitely take air that we're breathing for granted. And so you don't feel like you've achieved anything by getting that air, you know? If you're sure you'll get to the top of a mountain and it's very clear air, you go, oh, the air up here is so wonderful. But that's the only time you'll really appreciate it.
But achievement is only one.
And that was a great mountain to wealth analogy.
It was a good mountain
pleased
analogy.
With it.
It was
did a lot better than my analogy in part one of this.
Yeah, you've done maybe 10 mountain analogies in the
you think this
Cashing
is
In
two?
With TJ Miller, and I think that was in the top. It was close to the peak.
Wow.
Close to the peak.
Because I did one that really felt like a summit, but that there was much more to go.
That was a false peak, actually.
Yeah, false peak.
That other one. But that one, this one, this was
a good
one.
Do you like false peak or false summit better?
False peak.
You do, because I think what you're kind of peeking over the top going, mm-hmm. I made it. And then as soon as you get a little peek of it, you're peeking. You're being a peeping Tom. And Tom just found out he hasn't made it to the top of the mountain.
The false peak is really disappointed. Have you climbed some mountains?
Yeah,
it's really disappointing when you think
mountains,
you've made
yeah.
it to the top and you look over and you see that wasn't.
Sometimes I just pretend it's the peak and I mm-hmm. turn to whoever's behind me and go, we did it and it's not that great of a view. Let's head back down.
I took this course. It wasn't a course. It was, like I said, I was searching.
I took this course. It wasn't a course. It was a hike. I took a hike.
I'm going back to the happiness thing. I went to this thing in Venice where we did our vision boards for next year. It was a little bit cheesy, but
that's
I just thought it'd be interesting.
Cheesy.
Where you actually take it's very cheesy.
Well, I did. Yeah,
but everyone went around the room and explained what they wanted to happen in the following year, and what most people.
My mother went around the womb and explained what she wanted.
Some people
to have
went around the womb too
to her children. Yeah,
and most people said they wanted to find love or to make a lot of money.
Really?
And to me, it seemed like it'd be easier with all this talk of the secret and all this, you know, stuff about how they were going to achieve their goals. It'd be easier to be satisfied with what you have rather than keep trying to strive for more.
I was just going to say, and this is Epicurean.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't work
Epicurean
hard and enjoy.
In origin.
But let me just finish one thing you were saying about achievement. Achievement's just one way humans can feel happy. And I feel like with the self-help stuff, it's like the tacit thing is you're not good enough. That's the message in that whole section of the store. You're not good enough as you are. No, if you're satisfied with how you're being good enough as you are, then all that other stuff is a bonus.
If you're happy with what you have, then you'll never be unhappy with what you need. You'll never. Mm-hmm. So if you're unhappy about everything that you have, you won't be unhappy that you need more, you know, or unhappy because you want something else.
It would be easier to learn how to be grateful than appreciate what you have, than to keep trying to fix yourself when you're probably not broken in the first place.
The gratefulness, a lot of people are broken and probably need help.
I don't think they're improving themselves in the ways that are important. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The self-improvement
you may be right about
thing.
That. But the self-improvement thing, those books, if a book is worth its salt in being a book, a lot of these books are made from salt. And so if you've got a good salt book.
I did not know that,
Jeff. Yeah, it's true. No, that's true.
Yeah.
And if you got to, then it's going to be telling you, like, be happy with the money that you're making. Don't buy into it. It's this capitalist consumerist society, which it drives our economy, but also makes it pretty tough to sort of, I don't know, kind of like, I don't know. I just got a little self-conscious. Are you kind of looking at the weight that I gained for the role?
No.
Okay.
No, I just like that sweater vest.
Because I'm happy with what I have.
I just think it's an attractive
on my body. I don't
all I'm
need
saying
anymore.
Is I don't think pants should have a collar. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I think?
And I feel like you guys are selling a lot of that here at Abercrombie & Fitch.
Look, collared pants are the new in thing.
I don't like a pants with a collar on.
A lot of people come in, they say, colored pants? Yeah, I know you got all kinds of colors. I say, no, these pants have a collar on them. And if you're real cool, you pop the collar, and it looks like you're wearing a belt that is just a cape, like kind of being flown upwards.
Look. Here's the thing. Now, I hope I don't contradict myself too much here, because I just said that everyone should be satisfied with who they are. That being said, we are not all equal. Some people are superior to others. For example, the lead singer
white
of
people.
No, no. The lead singer of U2, I believe his name is Bono. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
He is superior to me in every way. He is. Jesus. He's a better... Like, if you think you're equal to all other people, look at that guy's life.
Come on. And
seriously, he's a better person than me.
You don't know that.
He is, and I'm not saying that. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm better than other people like yourself. So it's...
What if he masturbated on a homeless person at one point?
Well, that might change the scale.
Have you ever done that?
No. Not recently.
So then if he has, then he's not a better person than you.
He's raised millions of dollars.
Or is it bad to masturbate on a homeless person?
How can you really think you're equal to him? He's raised millions of dollars for charity.
For which charity?
He's wonderfully
talented. For homelessness?
I'm not sure which charities.
Because if he was raising money for homelessness and he wasn't asking the homeless people if they would rather have money and food or to be ejaculated on by the lead singer of U2, he may have missed out a lot. Maybe he's
taking this to a very dark place.
As you think. I don't understand the darkness of this. Why can't we just be honest? Some people like to be masturbated onto. Why is it so gross?
I'm trying
this
to make
this is what I'm talking
serious...
about, a revaluation of values. Why does that have to be bad, but it's okay to not give money to charity if you make more than you need?
I'm trying to make the most serious point in the history of the show.
And I'm trying
about
to ask you to totally reevaluate all of your values.
I'm saying there's certain people you look at and you're like, that guy really is, like, got it all.
You want me to tell you what's happening?
Okay.
I'm asking you to reevaluate in the Nietzschean manner all of your values, what you think is dark, it's a dark sort of approach to things, what's good, what's bad, what makes him a better person than you, that he's given all this money to charity? Has he given it to the right charities? What would you have done with the movie? Is he a good family man? You might be a much better family man than
I
him.
I might have qualities that are better than him.
Much, much better than
I
him.
I might.
And the qualities that you think make him better than you, you need to revalue those and decide if they really are as valuable.
It's a pretty big barometer, though, to say that you have a guy that's pretty much changed the world.
Right.
And I'm not even a huge fan of the...
Why is changing the world more important than making some homeless person's dream come true? By ejaculating on them. I'm sorry, but I've been to a couple fetish clubs,
And I made a woman very happy, happier than any nation state could ever be as a whole by licking her ankles and her calves. And then my lady friend walked on the back of a man in her bare feet, and he ejaculated as it was happening. And he said, this is the best moment of my life. Now, people like that probably are prone to superlatives and hyperbole. But across the board, why does that have any less value than Bono trying to change, you know, the political climate, which is already so fucked? I don't know how much progress he made. And then he dies on a skiing accident. Right? How valuable can you be using your time if you're skiing so recklessly? He must have been from the goddamn Midwest. That's how little preciousness he assigned to his life, that he was skiing so dangerously. What value is there in that? A man who has the potential and the power to change the world, and he just fucking skied into a goddamn tree and killed himself.
This whole episode feels like one big misunderstanding.
It is a misunderstanding of what people hold dear and value highest, and they misunderstand that they're not questioning any of these presuppositions. There's no answers. There's merely hidden presuppositions, which are of the heathens.
Let's move along to Tiny Opinions.
No. I will. Stop it.
In fact,
stop the tape, Ryan. I've had enough of it.
I'm so glad. I don't understand why Ryan's at Abercrombie & Fitch.
I love that he's here.
I like that he came with me.
I brought him in as a stock boy, and he's quickly become the general manager.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to watch a friend that you bring in at a lower level ascend within hours to being your boss. But I guess that is the theme of Gulliver's Travels, the Jack Black 3D film that did splendidly in Malaysia, and of which I propelled the part in the plot.
You propelled it?
I was the one who ascended from his underling to his boss and then fired him.
Wow. Tiny opinions.
Though they are, in fact, normal-sized men, they have tiny opinions.
Here's my tiny opinion. I don't think that Bono is a better person than you.
Well, thanks, buddy.
His name is Bono. You already have a very untraditional name, Cash.
That's true.
Which, do you think that that's affected?
I don't think you should feel sorry for me because Bono's a better person than me.
You shouldn't feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for myself,
but I do think he's a superior human being.
Well, I feel sorry for you that those are your values.
Well, I mean, and you know, maybe the scandal will break out where we'll find out something where I can realize, you know, maybe
that you
find
killed
out that
Bono.
I'm,
yeah,
maybe that I'm. Well, that's not where I was going, but that maybe I am better than him as a person.
I think so, but then you're again valuing. You're saying, "Well, he's no longer a good person because of this, this, and this."
But some people are better than others. Look, there are better. If there's people that have killed lots of people, and I feel secure feeling like I'm a better person.
But who
than
are they
that
killing?
Kills people. Now, let's just say a serial killer. Huh. I feel like I can say I think I'm superior to a serial killer.
What if there's a serial killer who killed three or four other people? Three of the four of the 10 people he killed were molesting or abusing children.
Three or four out of the 10?
Now, that's less than half.
Yeah. Just
but he's saving each of those children from a life of abuse and maybe giving them some feeling
of
retribution.
You're trying, this is an interesting hypothetical, but yeah, I mean, there's different hypotheticals where I'd have to weigh each one.
You're right. And so my hypothetical,
this particular
because
one,
you don't believe it's as possible as somebody just killing innocent people.
I would still say I'd superior to someone that kills 10 people, regardless of what,
regardless of what it is.
No, not regardless, but if,
what if
well,
it's
three
10,
of them
what
were
if
molesting?
It's 10 terrorists? What if that person, just by chance, killed 10 people who were terrorist cells living in the United States?
Well, that would be an act of war, I guess, those murders.
And would that be an act of valor to kill those who would have killed hundreds?
Yes.
So that person would be superior to you, a person that killed 10 people.
Superior? They had the opportunity to kill those 10. I didn't have the opportunity.
Do you think if you had the opportunity, you would have killed those 10 people?
Indeed, I would kill 10 people. If...
And here's my result.
Indeed, I would. If they were going to kill others.
I think I'm a better person than you. Because I wouldn't kill any of those people.
Even though they were going to kill.
I think murder is wrong.
Even though they were going to
kill. Sorry. This may be my last podcast. you serial killing, bloodthirsty monster.
Listen, I'm going to get a tiny opinion here, and I think you're going to agree with this.
Okay.
Because you've disagreed with everything I've said all day.
I haven't disagreed with it. I just think you've been wrong every single time you've spoken.
Here's one thing we can be grateful for. And people, I think America's got really lucky with our neighbors. Really lucky.
I like that.
Really lucky.
I win. Yep,
our neighbors are so awesome. Seriously. We got so lucky.
Canada's like the quiet family that lives next door.
Canada's,
they always take out their trash. They're not home alone.
They're peaceful and classier than us. They're peaceful and classy, right?
You think
they're
classier?
And then we have the partiers in Latin America, and they add a little. They add a little more. They're very nice people.
I'm
going to
bring it down.
I'm very thankful.
I enjoy your Canadian neighbor analogy.
Yeah.
When I come back to Mexico, there is some partying going on there. There are also drug cartels that behead people, and there are villages that live in fear, and the federal government is completely corrupt.
No, Bono's fixed all that.
He did. Bono went in there. He went to Tijuana. He was the ambassador. He taught them all how to ski. Thousands have died in Mexico from his lessons alone.
I just think I feel really lucky because I think we get.
Here's how I think it's easier to agree with
more
you.
Of the Canadian people.
Imagine if it was if we were next to Colombia,
exactly
right beneath us, and then above us was like the entire Soviet bloc.
Right,
we'd be in a different situation.
Look, there's tons of situations we could be in that would be a heck of a lot worse. We really lucked out with our neighbors.
We could have done better.
How?
Greenland or Iceland to the north?
I don't dislike Greenland or Iceland, but I like the two.
And then to the south, Texas.
They just become
their own country.
I like what these two countries
really
and these two regions are bringing to the mix for us.
Really?
Yeah, they're bringing a lot to the table.
Maple syrup, hockey. And anything hecho in Mexico.
I mean, just even for piñatas alone.
And Mexican food has been
Mexican
such
food
a
is so
gift.
Delicious.
What a gift.
And I think piñatas are the most awesome idea.
And I'd rather be surrounded by Latino culture and like...
Yeah.
Which is more of an Indian sort of feel to it. But I, you know... Mis sueños no están tan buenos hasta el momento que me que te perdió te perdí. Right?
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but yeah.
It was a lot of fucked up tenses of me saying my life has not been as my dreams have not been as sweet since I've lost you.
Maskers. We haven't done math.
I'd rather have that than having a Russian neighboring state that was like,
exactly.
Right.
We're surrounded
by... You know what that means, loosely translated?
I'm not sure.
My dreams are all nightmares. Nightmares of when the USSR was, you know, crippling our economy and our lives.
We have very open-minded neighbors for the most part, and I like that.
Yeah,
we're really fortunate. I'm going to move on to maskers. We got a lot of maskers.
Like 85% of superheroes, this is maskers.
I want to read you the Maya Pinguina triple shot. MAI.
Oh, I saw some of hers. They're great.
PNGINA. Yeah, I've been meaning to get to these. I can't afford to bury my uncle, so should I just leave him at a public storage? Like that one. What kind of net should I get to prevent my...
I think yes, but put him in one of those sealable coffins.
Public
storage. Otherwise it'll start to smell. But that's a weird one to play a monthly. Do you have to pay a monthly fee on a grave plot?
I don't know how that works.
Or do you buy it permanently?
I'm not sure how that works.
We better find out soon.
I know.
Yeah.
It's getting to it. Getting to that point in time.
It's getting
she tight. Writes, what kind of net should I get to prevent my aunt from falling off her balcony?
Not a butterfly net or fishing net. Get a ladle. Get a full, large, human-sized ladle.
Human ladle catcher. I just like that she's a real family person. She wants to bury her uncle and prevent her aunt from falling off her balcony. These are 4 days apart, these questions.
So she's got some family things going on. I mean, I think the fact that you're even thinking about these things proves that you're a good daughter.
She's got some things going on in her love life. I keep getting postcards by this guy I don't know. So should I play along? Postcards. I love that technique.
But is it postcards from a guy she likes, you're saying, or she doesn't know?
She says, I don't know. It's by a guy she doesn't know. Should I play along?
I mean, how does he have her address?
Interesting.
That would be my first question. It's fun to play along with like an email that you don't know, or even texting. But if he knows where you live, I mean, what are you wanting to get out of it? Because he could show up at any point and give you a French kiss that you didn't want.
Good point.
You ever been Frenched against your will?
French kissed?
Yeah.
Every time.
Fair enough. Winner, winner.
French kissing the first time you tried it was kind of icky, right? First time?
No way, man.
I was stunned
by it. I couldn't believe another tongue was so soft.
I was stunned by the whole thing.
Tongue is the softest part of the body. Put them together. You got the only thing from French culture that I like. Because French fries are American.
French kissing is sort of the s'mores of kissing. It's very soft.
French toast is the s'mores of toast.
I always fill my mouth with nougat before I French kiss.
Do you? And have you ever French kissed a woman with nougat in her mouth while you had nougat in your mouth? Ugh.
Is it great?
The fusion of nougat. I call it fugit.
I like this one. This is Sean Kometz. You know, it was like his stuff.
So I guess maybe play along if you want to, but if they know where you live and you don't know them, so why don't you give them a postcard that says, let's take this to email, you know?
I like it. I like what he's doing. I like his approach. I think it's unique.
But she doesn't know him.
Huh?
How the fuck did he get her address?
It's so personal. We're not writing enough personal notes anymore, and I think it's...
think they can mostly be
I think
on
it helps. I think it helps to do that. Wondering if he's writing in cursive or not. Does anyone
That's
read?
A big part of it. If he's writing in cursive, I trust him. If he's
exactly.
not. And if he's using cutouts from magazines, letters that he cut out, I'd say that's a no-go.
That's a no-go.
Take that. That's a no-go. Take that to email.
Or how about a...
That'll be my new catchphrase.
Yeah. How about a...
If somebody's coming up to you with a gun and rubbing it against your leg, that's a no-go. Tell them, let's take this to email. And you should seek help for your frauderism fetish.
Or if it's just written in, those typewriters where there's maybe a couple keys missing... That would be kind of scary, too.
Yeah, let's take that one to email.
Folks, take it to email.
Folks, ladies, take a break. Actually,
fellas,
you're going to need to
You know
this.
What I'm talking about.
Fellas, get out of the room.
Fellas, take a break. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Can I read one? Stephanie Lee
wrote,
what's more desirable, helmet hair or hat hair?
Mm.
I say helmet hair.
Well, from my perspective, hair is most desirable.
Yeah, that would be his perspective. But if you had to have hat hair or helmet hair, what would you use?
Hat hair.
Really? I like helmet hair. But, you know, bedhead is a great one, too. But helmet hair implies you've been doing it. Then somebody's like, what's with your hair? You're like, oh, I had my helmet on. And to me, you're like, cool. What'd you need a helmet for? And he's like, I always wear a helmet when I go on my electric tricycle. It's out front. I put baseball cards in the front wheels and the back cards. I just put spaghetti.
Oh, God.
Okay. Boiled spaghetti.
Sean Kometz, I like this one. Is there any way to have a serious conversation on a waterbed?
Yeah, if it's about the comfort of the waterbed.
I think you can have a serious conversation, but here's a question I wanted to ask you based on this. Would you vote for a president that slept in a waterbed? It lacks gravitas, doesn't it? It lacks gravitas.
Oh, my God.
You know? Wouldn't that affect your decision?
What about a president with a Tempur-Pedic? Would you respect him more or less?
Would you vote for a president who gave you his sleep number?
He's like
during the election?
And I always remember, my sleep number is a 6. We're going to sleep well tonight, especially using a Posturepedic mattress.
Would you vote for a president who previously was in one of those ads with the wine where the wine doesn't spill? on the one side of the bed? Yeah, I mean, you previously had done an ad for that?
I don't think so. I will say waterbed is a weird one for me, but Tempur-Pedic, I'm saying, yeah, get the rest that you need. Here's what I wonder though. When you both lie down on a Tempur-Pedic bed having a conversation, does the conversation get deeper and deeper since you're sinking into the bed? Figuratively or just literally?
I don't think you can break up with someone on a waterbed.
This isn't a Maskers, but Stephanie Lee says, sorry for the delayed Maskers confirmation, but that Four Doors for More Horrors license plate I saw was completely real. I think she meant cover. I'd be quite surprised if somebody could fit Four Doors for More Horrors on their actual license plate. I guess you could put 4D and then the number 4, MR, MOR, and then horrors. That's even too long. Mm. But it is completely real. And we maintain that a sedan is not going to, it may fit more horrors. But it's no whores are coming to you saying, let's have sex because there's four doors and I have three friends and I only have sex when my three friends are present and have comfortable leg room in the back seat.
I like the conversation we had with Ryan about his car. Ryan, our producer most often at this point, he when we can figure out our schedules, Ryan got a new car. And my first question was, I opened the trunk and I said, so how many bodies can you fill back there? Can fill up the back there? How many bodies? And I think that's
a weird question. That's one of the questions you don't
ask. How many bodies does the trunk hold?
Right
is
away.
That a red, is that a, sort of a red herring?
What do you mean?
Is that a dead giveaway?
A red herring is more something that you...
Red herring that maybe you're a problem person?
Do you know what a red herring is? It's something that people think... Oh, this must be the answer, and it's not.
Is that an under 20-legged centipede?
Is that a... Yes.
Okay, yep. Good.
I think so.
We came up with an... I think that'd be interesting if that's how you judge cars, how many bodies you can fit in them.
And you know what it is? That's a fun one when you're shopping for cars.
Yeah.
You
say, yeah.
What's the trunk space? How many bodies? We, you know, we're talking a guy from 5'8 to 6 foot, maybe 5'6 to 6 foot.
I'm thinking big guys. How many big guys can you fit there in the trunk?
Is this a two? Is this if this is a two big bodier? Can you put two big bodies in here? Four small ones.
Brian Rissinger writes: can you call sex bedroom athletics?
Yeah, if you're doing it right.
I don't know. The women I've been with refer to it as disappointing.
Oh, just that one word.
Yeah.
So not even bedroom disappointment, just disappointment.
That probably would have been
the women better. The women I'm with call it bedroom athletics. That once both of us have already won, you have to keep playing for some reason. And I'd like to rid myself of this sandpaper and gravel feeling on this second round of intercourse.
Second round? Who does it twice?
I've only heard of it.
What's your record? What's your record in a day?
I don't do it like that. I like to have sex for longer periods of time.
Like one longer session?
One longer session is better than a bunch of little ones. People that have sex more than once, more than three or four times, I think you're probably prematurely ejaculating. And you don't have the intimacy necessary for the woman to say, I really need you to stop. You're tearing the one thing that defines me as a woman to pieces.
No, I think when you're younger, you do it as much as you can.
I don't know about
that. When
you're
like in high school or college.
I was always, you know, we would do
it. It's more
in high school, I would have sex a couple times at lunch. Sometimes that would be a really fun, exciting thing. Have a little malt liquor, have sex a couple times, then go back for the second half of school. That's always a special secret in high school to have, you know, because when your teacher's like, you're telling me you didn't read any of this trigonometry? You've got no trigonometry homework that you're turning in? And as I say yes and smile in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but I just fucked till I trucked this afternoon. While you were eating a homemade lunch, I was hitting skins at my high school girlfriend's house. So, no, I didn't do any trigonometry homework. And I also didn't race to get it done as I was reaching climax for a second time, having the most inexperienced sexual intercourse a man can have. At one point, I was having sex with her for about 10, 15 minutes, and she said, TJ, that's not my vagina. That's the cabinet. That's my bedside table and cabinet. And I said, hey, baby, if there's grass on the field, then let's play. And she said, that's not grass. That's a bedside plant. That's just a plant. And I put it on my bedside table. And you've been fucking it for 10 minutes, and I didn't have the heart to tell you. But didn't you notice that I was feet away? And I said, well, you're still moaning. And hey, look, if this trailer's a rocking and a moaning, don't come in and give a knock and start groaning. And she said, TJ, we're not in a trailer. There was no rocking going on. And that moaning was me going, oh no, as I saw your penis chafing and splintering against the drawers that you were fucking sequentially. I mean, I was in the first drawer I'd pull out. I'd go into the second drawer. The third drawer, I'd say, hey, you really want to get dirty? Let's go back door. And she said, it's back door, TJ, not back drawer. I said, oh, I thought it was bottom drawer. And she said, no, you can be a bottom and you can go back door, but nothing that you're saying is right. So I had to screw back on one of the handles, which I'd fucked right off the dresser. And I don't mean to be rude about that. I know this is all pretty dirty. I guess this is the best time to say that while I was in Utah, I don't know about that Tagay for Diaz, but they got a chicken beef shrimp slider that'll blow your dick right out of the back of your asshole. And I mean that truly. It'll blow your dick right out of the back of your ass, and then your dick will find its way back to its original place. And that is not, you would think that's like a mind-blowing experience, but it isn't, because your mind wasn't blown, your dick was blown right out of your asshole. And as it fell and found its way over, and I don't know what you at home are imagining, and I sort of have a gesture that I use for this, but it's just a dick on its own with the balls, sort of dragging the balls behind it. It has no eyes. It's a dick. It just has the little urethra for a mouth, and it's sort of feeling its way across the carpet, trying to find your leg to then crawl and drag the balls up your leg, which ordinarily would be horrifying. But remember, your dick has just been blown out of the back of your asshole from one bite of these sliders. So I think the whole time you're just looking at your pelvis going, how did this happen? And the dick just makes its way up. And then when it reattaches perfectly without any scarring tissue or any signs that it would have been lost, that screaming would turn to elation and joy, sort of a, no, no, oh my God, thank God. How did this happen? But thank God it's back. And then that would be immediately replaced with the shame and the secrecy with which you would have to keep this experience, because you can't explain to somebody that your dick just blew out of the back of your asshole. That's never happened to anybody else. Sure, you'd bring it up in conversation with ever TGI Fridays, said like, hey, have you had these sliders? Yeah, they're pretty good. But I mean, they were real good, right? Yeah, they were real good. Did anything happen after you had one that, I don't know, was unlike any experience you've ever had, and something so terrifying but then suddenly reassuring that you would never tell another soul? And every person I've asked that to said, nah, what do you mean? And then you just continue to live in that shame and private, you know, self-loathing. I don't know.
And that, my friends, is the employee of the month from Abercrombie & Fitch.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you, I don't even put on some of the chinos in here, because I heard they're so comfortable and so well-fitting that it'll blow your asshole right out of your dick. It'll just come through the front, pop out like a little piece of calamari, and you got to go find it and put it back on. And I did not want that. I want to apologize about heightening one step too far with a calamari asshole Abercrombie & Fitch chino tag.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.